Thank you so much for joining me, Linda Reagan, today in the KKRN studio for February. Scratched Up Players presents Arts Around Town. I wasn't sure we would have a show for you this month, as we had to move our studio upstairs, as our previously flooded studio is being repaired. We're searching for a new studio in Reading, as our rent has almost doubled with our new owners. If you have a space you would like to rent here in Reading, we are still looking. We're able to pay some rent, and we're looking for a place that might be willing to receive part payment and receive a tax break. If you're interested, you can email me at lindareagan150@gmail.com. If you would like to donate to keep the local studio in Reading up and running, please go online to KKRN and find the donate button. Now back to today. I'm in the studio with Lily Dubois, our technical wizard, without whom this show would not be possible. As you know, if you've listened to our show before, I tend to interview people whose work I know and admire, and today is no exception. Seeing him in the Riverfront production of All My Sons some years ago, which is a classic play by Arthur Miller, I was inspired to return to community theater. I never dreamed I might share a stage with him, but last year it happened with the radio stage version of It's a Wonderful Life at the Riverfront Theater, which he also directed. He has been on stage in Los Angeles and the Bay Area. He has had roles in films. He's active with our own Scratched Up Players on stage and radio as actor and director. We will catch up with him and discover what John Welsh's latest projects are. For now, the play to see is Shakespeare in Love at Axiom Repertory Theater. It is on now, but only through February 27th. You can purchase tickets online or at the door. 2613 Bocelli Lane. Enjoy. The Riverfront Theater opens next month, March 11th through 26th, with Steel Magnolias. Tickets are available now online at Enjoy the Store or at the door, 1950 California Street. If you haven't seen the new Riverfront yet, you really should check it out. The Cascade Theater presents Brian Regan Thursday, February 24th at 7:30 p.m., and Randy Houser, Wednesday, March 9th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available online. And in other announcements, the Reading Performing Arts Center offers classes in youth theater and performance theater for all ages, including children's theater starting at grades 1 and 2 on up through high school, with classes in musical theater and dance. Check it out at readingperformingartscenter.com if you have an aspiring performer around. I also want to call your attention to the Scratched Up Players every Thursday night at 8 p.m. The first two Thursdays are our play presentations of local writers. The third Thursday is Arts Around Town with theater news and interviews. And the fourth Thursday is Write Stuff with Jim Dowling interviewing authors. So please tune in and let us know what you think. And as I promised, my next guest is John Welsh, actor, director. Welcome, John.
Hi, Linda.
Thank you for being here today. I'm thrilled to be able to spend time with you and ask a lot of questions I don't have time to ask when I see you around town or I forget to ask. So I have a list, but first let's talk about what you're doing now. I know you're preparing something you're rehearsing online. Can you tell us what that is?
That's right. It's a new experience, Zoom rehearsals. Susan Doherty, who used to be here in the Reading area, moved up north. She's out in Crescent City now. And she has a friend up there and a partner, not her partner, but a writing or theatrical partner, that has written 3 one-acts. And Riverfront Playhouse has agreed to produce them the first 2 weekends of April. Oh. And I happen to have a role in one of them. Cal Pepper Devereaux, Tanqueray Bodine, and I play Thad Duncan. And I am a TV show host interviewing these legends of country music.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It's been working out okay. Every Monday we get together at 6 o'clock and rehearse for about an hour and a half. And it's, of course, once we sit down next to each other, it's going to be entirely different. And probably all kinds of curveballs are going to come our way. But for right now, it's a pretty effective way to rehearse.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. You know, somebody's on book for two of us, and then we switch off and go on book for them. And it's working. It's working.
Great. Sounds like fun. And mm-hmm. You're in a movie, too, you were telling me.
Well, I just did. I had one scene. It was fun. Played a cab driver. The movie, I guess we can say it's been rumored what the movie is, so it's all around social media, called Dresden Sun. It's considered a cyberpunk action-adventure movie. But I'm neither cyberpunk nor action-adventure. No, no zombies this time. No. But I played a cab driver, got one cute scene, which we filmed just outside the studio here a couple of weeks ago. It was fun.
Sounds like it. Well, you were in some of those zombie movies, weren't you?
Oh, I was. Yes, we have to. Yes, I was. And you know, I won't, not fond of doing them anymore, and I won't do any more of them, because it's a niche, which I don't choose to be associated with strictly.
Did you have a big role in those?
I did. For a couple of them, I had one of them in particular, Dead and the Damned 2, I had a very good role, actually third billing. And we also did Sleeping Beauty. I played the wizard in that, which was a substantial role.
Right.
And then I had, minor roles, supporting roles in a few others of his.
Where would we see these films?
They're all straight to DVD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can go on Amazon for most of them. Probably the best thing to do is look up the director, Rene Perez. Look him up first, and then you'll see a list of his movies.
Okay.
But it's, like I say, it's a niche. There's a real niche out there for this kind of zombie movie. They got to be 85 minutes long. They got to have X amount of fights, and they have to show a little bit of skin. It's for the teenage boys and the 80-year-old guys. Okay, that's who we're appealing to.
So, did you do movies when you were in the Bay Area?
No, I was in Bay Area.
You were in LA.
I was LA. I did a couple of things when I first hit California way back. 76, from Illinois.
Oh, okay. That's
raised
right.
In Peoria, graduated Illinois State. But when I first hit town, I signed on with an extra casting agency. So I did got in a couple of movies down there. But it made me realize I was an actor, not an extra.
Yeah.
You know, not being cocky. That's just being, hey, if I'm going to invest my time, I want to do it as an actor.
Yeah.
And really, really work at it and not just show up in the background. So I did a couple. I did a couple of student films. But it wasn't until I got up here that I was actually, cast in a number
of films.
There really is a lot of work up here for actors, either on stage or in movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great place to be. And filmmakers love it because of the variety of backdrops that they can use. You got the mountains. You got the lake. You know, you got downtown, which you can dress up as a real urban center. So it's really great for filmmakers.
And how does it compare with doing theater?
As I get older, I like doing the movies better because I can keep a script in my hand up until the time we shoot. And the memorization is slipping a little bit. It's getting a little tougher for stage work. But with movies, you can cheat a little bit with that script between takes. But it's a different kind of acting. It certainly is. On stage, we have to be spontaneous. We have to be in the moment and listen to our partner, react to our partner, and it changes. It can change from performance to performance. When you're doing a movie, you can't do that. You don't have that luxury. If they're going to do take after take after take from different camera angles, you have to be spot on with that muscle memory, delivering your lines exactly the same way, for editing purposes, of course.
That sounds a lot harder to me.
It's tiring. Very surprising. The last one I did, it was just barely over a half a day's work. But it was exhausting.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah.
I can believe it. So how did you get into theater?
Well, I always say, first grade, played one of the wise men in parochial school in the Christmas pageant, and I loved it. I loved the audience sitting out there and applauding and laughing when they were supposed to. And I realized through grade school, I was the one that couldn't wait to get up and give a book report, talk in front of the class. And I couldn't understand why so many of my friends dreaded it. They were just petrified or standing in front of it. It's like, no, it's fun. It's fun to do. So then a couple of plays in high school, and actually put it on the back burner for a while. Went to college for a year and a half at Illinois, University of Illinois.
What did you major in?
I majored in economics, accounting and economics, finance, which was ridiculous.
That was
so stupid. I just missed academic pro my first semester, went on academic pro my second semester, and was flunking out my third semester, so that's when I got out. I enlisted, was turned down, fortunately. I'm grateful.
I'm grateful, too.
Yeah. But then when I came home, the folks said, well, if you're going to live here at home, you're still going to have to go to school. You know, this is after bombing out of University of Illinois. So I went to the junior college, and they were auditioning for West Side Story in conjunction with the local community theater, which is Peoria Players, the oldest continually operating community theater in the nation, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, they even were able to make it through the COVID shutdowns by doing online productions and so on, so they maintained that status.
Amazing.
So, yeah, quite a reputation. Anyway, I was cast as Riff and had a great working relationship with the director, the professor, at that time. And from there, we went on from there, did a couple more plays together, and I just became a fixture at Peoria Players and the summer theater, which was Cornstalk, which was a tent theater in the round. So I got a real good dose of theater right off
the bat.
A lot
of good training.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But I was finishing up one show, right in rehearsals for another, and I did that for a year and a half
exciting.
Or so, 2 years. And that's the days when I could do it.
Yeah.
Could do it. So that got me started. And finally ended up, I took some time off and ended up at Illinois State in Normal, Illinois, Bloomington Normal, and got down there and was cast in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And got to take that to Washington, D.C., to the Kennedy Center for the American College Theater Festival.
Wow.
It was back in 1975. Nope, I didn't want to date myself. That's okay. But we did two shows on the Eisenhower stage there at the Kennedy Center. And what a fantastic experience. Standing ovation. And I'll never forget that. Just it's shivers thinking about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Oh.
If you had a theater experience that made you happy whenever you think of it,
oh,
I guess
my word,
that's the one.
That would be the one. Yeah. So then I decided to move to California. You know, I had the option to go to New York stage or California. Well, I'd never been to California, where I had been to New York. And I said, I'm going to California. Not a brilliant career move. Because at the time, when I was at Illinois State, I was also there with John Malkovich, Laurie Metcalf, Rondi Reed, Jeff Perry. These people went up to Chicago and founded Steppenwolf.
Oh.
Which has become world famous,
yes.
Of course. And
I was
invited to come along with them and be in that inaugural group. But I said, no. I'm going to California. Go to Hollywood.
Struck
be
out
a star.
On your own.
Yeah. And got out here and found out it was a business. That's what I always say, but it's tough, you know. I respect anybody that has stuck it out.
Yeah,
a lot of those people that I mentioned took a while, but Rondi Reed finally hit Broadway with August Osage County, and she played the mom in Mike and Molly.
Oh,
she played Mike's mom. Jeff Perry got on Nash Bridges, but it took a while to get there. Then he was on Scandal as Silas Bean. So these folks that stuck it out, I say, boy, more power to you. I'm in awe.
I am too, because I'm from L.A., and I know how hard it is. I know how much it takes to...
Yeah, and you can't do it halfway. You know, I thought for a while, well, maybe I could work a full-time job and then do the acting on the side. Well, sure, you can do community theater at night, but you can't you can't expect to get cast in a movie or a television show if you're not willing to give it 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You have to commit. Absolutely commit. So.
Yeah, unless you can get a job that just, you know, is flexible.
Right.
Some kind of, I don't know what it would be, but.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it hard for you to leave a character, or has it ever been hard to let go of a character that you played?
No, I'll have lines that keep coming back, and I keep repeating in my head for weeks afterwards at times. But let's see. No, I'm able to shut them off. I really am.
Well, you probably move on to the next thing.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
But there's another character coming. And is there a role you haven't played that you would like to do?
Oh, boy. I'd like to play George in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I'm just almost at the maximum age now. I mean, at that threshold, I don't know if I could. But
you could.
And I haven't done O'Neill. I'd love to do some Eugene O'Neill.
Oh, Long
Either
Day's Journey?
Long Day's Journey or Iceman Cometh, which is a brilliant character play. It's just never done because it's so long. It really is a long play.
Yeah, it's heavy.
But it's,
and it's heavy.
It's a tremendous character-driven play.
It is.
So those two stand out. I suppose I could do Lear now. But you know what? Shakespeare just doesn't. I've done, in workshops, I've done Shakespeare, and I enjoy it, but it's not a passion. It's not something that I've...
Oh, I really do love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I love the language, and I'd like to see us do a play, a Shakespeare play, with all women. I don't know what it would be. It couldn't be one where there's any gender... miscasting, you know, it would just have to be, or, you know, where the men are playing women or the women are playing men.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be too confusing, but just where all the parts are played by women because men have done it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did it for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it would be really interesting to see how that works.
I can't fathom that right now. Let me know when you do it, though.
I'll let you know when I figure out which play.
Yeah, good, good.
Maybe Midsummer Night's Dream. That's always a good one.
Yeah.
That's a big one, though. Or a history. One of the histories.
Richard, I don't know if you could do Richard.
I wouldn't want to do Richard.
Would not want to see you with a hump.
I'm getting pretty wussy, you know. I don't want to be in anything that's too depressing. I just want to be happy.
There you go.
That play we did at for Christmas was wonderful. It's a Wonderful Life, you know.
Yes.
Very upbeat.
Yeah, it turned out.
Made me happy.
Yeah, it turned out to be a lot of fun.
It really was.
Did. Yeah, I sweated for a while there, but it was all worth it.
It was. Wonderful people.
Yeah.
New people.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you that I really appreciated talking to an actor like you and having you tell me you had been disappointed in not getting certain roles that you wanted at times.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was, I know there's the John Malkovich story.
Oh, yes. I'm fond of telling this one. So I went down to Illinois State in fall of 74, and I had already done Cuckoo's Nest at the junior college about 2 or 3 years prior. But that's a role. When you do McMurphy once, it's like, oh, I want to do that again and again and again. So they were auditioning for Cuckoo's Nest. Well, I went down there. I didn't know a soul except the girl, the actress that played Nurse Ratched. I knew her from Peoria. So that was it. I didn't know anybody else. I auditioned for the role, and I could pick out one person that was going to be my main competition, and it was John Malkovich. So I'm keeping an eye on him, and, well, fortunately, I was cast as McMurphy. So I can say that I beat out John Malkovich in theater.
Awesome.
And I'm sure to this day, that's his biggest regret, I'm sure. I'm sure he hates me. He's looking back every night before he goes to sleep. Oh, that son of a gun. I could have been
Murphy.
If only
I'd gotten to play that
one. Oh, boy. But, you know, at the time, I was there for 3 semesters, about the same time John was. He was a joy to watch. He was an absolute student of the craft. Now, we all went out and partied together, you know, but he was a very serious person all the time. Everything he did, he did it with the idea of learning from an experience, and it shows. Yeah. He's phenomenal to watch.
And he does very unusual characters.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Now, Laurie Metcalf was very serious also in school. And when I got to California and, you know, and was checking out the TV and everything, and I see Laurie Metcalf on Roseanne, a comedy, I couldn't believe it. But then I watched her and I said, no, that's the same girl. She can do anything.
She's brilliant.
Yeah,
she
can do anything.
She is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, I mean, she's got her Tony, she's got her Emmy, and I believe she was nominated for Academy Award.
Yeah, I think so.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal little actress. Yeah. I missed meeting Gary Sinise. He was down at Illinois State, I think, for a semester or so before I got there. But I'd met him one time through Terry Kinney, who shows up frequently on television. He was the warden in Oz many years ago. He was in The Firm. But, yeah, those two guys started Steppenwolf, and, boy, I couldn't see it at the time.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
You can't have, you know, am I sorry? Sure. Is it a regret? Nah.
Nah, you've had a good life.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And you met your wife in L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, well, both wives. I was married once. First wife passed away, unfortunately, of cancer, and then met Lynn. And we got married in 93 and survived the earthquake in 94.
Uh-huh.
And then moved up here in 2010. Yeah, yeah.
That must be when I saw you in All My Sons.
All My Sons. That's right. Yeah. That's right. We did that the spring of 2011. Right.
Unforgettable.
Oh, thank you.
No, it was really, it was what got me back into community theater.
Really?
Yeah.
My word.
Yeah.
Did you audition for,
no.
for the Cape?
Oh, no. No, but I saw the play, Closing Night, and I just watched you, and I was like, wow, that's what it's about.
Oh, wow, thank you. Yeah,
it was. It's presence.
I felt so lucky to land so well, to have Russell.
Oh, you had a great cast.
Russell
yeah.
as the...
Was he the director?
Yeah, Russell directed.
I didn't remember
Russell
who Pye. Directed it.
And Catherine
yeah.
Kirk is my wife.
She's always wonderful.
And Tyler Lockamy as my son.
Yeah.
Well, Matt McDonald as George.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
it
right.
It was a fantastic cast.
The night I saw it was so funny because it was one of those nights. It must have been a full moon or something, and I was sitting in, I think, the front row, and the guy sitting behind me said to his wife, just before the play is over, I mean, it had maybe 2 minutes to go, and he said, can we go home now?
Oh, God.
And it was the night that the gun didn't go off.
That's right. Oh, that's terrible.
That was so
what do I do? I'm
funny.
Backstage with the gun, and it's not shown. So I slammed it against the wall just to make a sound. I had to do something.
That was perfect because it sounded like I thought the body was falling to the floor.
That's what people said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you went on to do Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And one that I'm real proud of is August Osage County out at the college.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen that.
Because I played the father again, the husband, and I was only in it for, I think, 14 minutes at the very beginning. But I loved it because it set the table for the whole play. It was so, I'm playing drunk, and I'm talking to my wife, take my wife, she's on drugs, da-da-da, I drink. Does she take drugs because I drink, or do I drink because she takes drugs, kind of thing? But it's just, I wanted the audience, when I left the stage, to go, what the hell was that? What did we just see? And then have it all explained, which happened, as it unravels. But I love doing that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. So that would be one of your favorite roles.
Yeah. Yeah. As small as it was, it set the table. And it was, I felt so important.
Well, what's next for you?
What's next? Auditions are coming up for Proof.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I'm crossing my fingers. It was one of the roles that I read for many, many years ago when I got back into theater. I'd taken a hiatus for about 17 years, and I didn't get back into it until about 2006. But that role came up, the father in Proof, and I didn't get it. So now I got a chance to get it this time, crossing my fingers.
I'll bet you money you do.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to think so, but I never count my eggs. My chickens, rather. Eggs I can count, not the chickens.
Do you have chickens?
No chickens.
You've got eggs.
Okay. In one basket. Go on.
Thank you so much for doing this. This has been great. I really enjoy talking to you.
This is fun. This is fun. Great. Yeah. Well, now you know a little bit more.
I do, yes. A little more history.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining me and my guest, John Welsh. And please, if there is an announcement that you would like to hear on this program, email me at Linda Ragan, all small, R-A-G-A-N, 150 at gmail.com. That's Linda Ragan, 150 at gmail.com. We welcome your thoughts and input on events you would like to announce. If you have questions you would like answered about theater in our town, please ask and we will find someone who has the answer if we don't. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
The butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk are secretly unhappy men because the butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk get paid for what they do, but no applause. They'd gladly bid their dreary jobs goodbye for anything theatrical and wild. There's no business like show. No business I know.